Hey there, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. And we are excited to be here with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And with me today are Nan and Nathan's joining us. Nathan, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
All right. Okay. This is going to be a great day. I'm so excited about this show today. We have a lot to share with our audience. And as always, it's 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon in Tampa Bay on this radio station, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM in the Tampa Bay area. And globally, www.tantalknetwork.com. A lot of ways to listen to us. It's really good. The availability now on this station with 5 stations, 3 a.m. and 2 f.m. now coming from this studio. And that is a great thing. And we're excited about all of that. And the increased number of listeners who are able to hear this on FM signal, which is a lot stronger. Nathan, welcome. It's good to hear your voice, brother.
Yes. Good to hear yours.
Yeah. Yes. Nan and I just came from nursing home and ministry, and hopefully you'll be back there with us soon at that. And I'll tell you what, it was a joy, as always. We were doing some Christmas carols, weren't we, Nan? Kind of
fun. Oh, wow,
fun.
That's
yeah,
right. That's
Christmas.
Right.
This
yeah.
is, right, Nan?
Right. And we were.
And we just figured out also, Nathan, that the next time we're at the nursing home, which is the first Sunday of every month, will be New Year's Day, which is
kind of
a great way to kick off a new year, is to be at the nursing home ministry, which we all love so much at Palm Garden in Clearwater. We enjoy it, and we had some real singers in there today and people raising their hands, weren't they, Nan?
That one lady was so cute. She just started doing one of the verses of one of the songs, and it kind of kicked us off to do the verses of the song. And
right.
She could sing
Christmas
good,
carols.
Too. Did you notice before we all started singing, she was really singing very good.
She was singing great. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, that she got that excited about it and was singing those songs. In fact, they told us we were being pretty loud in there today, and the people were really, they were participating, Nathan. You know how sometimes they're not as much, but
yeah,
they were. And they came in and we were really on our last song, and they were going to shut the door because we were all so loud. And I said, oh, that's a great sign. You know what? That's fun. So it's always great to be there first Sunday of every month. And we've got something else exciting getting ready to happen tomorrow. I am leaving for Mexico tomorrow morning,
very early.
My second trip to Mexico this year to do missionary work. And back in February, I took a lot of radio equipment that all of you, Beaconites, paid for. And we set up a radio station in Puebla, Mexico. And we are getting ready to expand that into another big area called Querétaro, which is about 4 hours away. So half of my trip, I'll be in Puebla, and half of my trip, I will be in Querétaro. And that's exciting. I am really looking forward to getting to know a new area of Mexico. And so much we're just going to be doing a whole lot of stuff while I'm there. And we've got several new people wanting to come on board to do radio shows And that is very exciting. And that's what it's all about. And this is not something that we get on the air and beg for money about. But if there's anybody out there that wants to be a part of this, this has been a total project of Beacon of Hope, and we don't solicit money. And but if you want to be a part of the radio shows that we do here or the work in Mexico with this new Christian radio station, you can go to our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. Go to the first page, front page, home page. And to the bottom, go to donations, and it will open up a PayPal screen for you to be able to give if you would like to be a part of this new missionary endeavor or just to keep this radio show on the air every week. And Nathan, you and Connie, and along with me, were a part of the very first radio show the Beacon did on this air. On the air, on this station, and it was April of 2007. We're in our 10th year, and in April we will celebrate that 10th year anniversary of being on the air. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated 500 shows, and that's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, we've been talking a lot to do 500 shows, Nathan.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
But, you know, what has this meant to you? I mean, talk to me about that, if you will. Before we get to this first song.
Just the fact that we're able to reach out and touch the lives of many, many people through radio.
Right.
It's been a real blessing to me.
Yes.
That to be able to be a part of that, because I know that we're touching hearts and we're changing lives.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, you know,
yes,
being in the ministry, quote unquote, it's just about reaching as many people as we can with the good news of the gospel. In fact, today at Nursing Home, we closed with that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Over the Hill, and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. And, you know, it's all about the Messiah Jesus at Christmas time. It is all about the fact that God the Father loved us so much that he sent his son to this earth. To die on a cross for us and to give us hope and to give us a reason to live and a joy in our living. And I don't know about you, but Nathan, I just when I think back over almost 10 years on the air every Sunday afternoon on this station, it just is so... such a blessing to me, you know?
Well, it flew by.
And it has flown by. And I guess we were 10 years younger when we began. I don't know.
I guess we were.
Well, yeah, we must have been. But anyway, it's just a joy. And we're going to be talking more about peace today. And the Prince of Peace is Jesus. And we're going to talk about that was one of the names prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would be the Prince of Peace. So this is going to be a very practical show today, a show that's going to help you overcome some of the things in your life that maybe are dragging you down. If you have your Bible or if you're driving along, then don't worry about it. But if you have your Bible, you can go to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 4 in just a moment, and then we'll go into other places. But we're going to celebrate the Prince of Peace today. And we're going to start with a song that fits this perfectly. And it is by the group Hillsong, Let the Peace of God Reign.
Strengthen me, hold my head up.
Mm, I love that song.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Woo! We just may have to do that at the end again. I tell you, that just sums up what we're saying on this show today. Oh, I wrote down a couple words. Oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let me know your truth. I love that. Nan, did you get something in there? Or hang on. You're on. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Hi, Nathan. I didn't get to say hi to you earlier.
Hi, darling. Hi, darling.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good.
No,
good.
I thought you might have had a poem then, but no. Okay. But, Nathan, when we're talking about, oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you, isn't that what it's all about in our Christian journey? To just want more of God? To, you know, I think there's times in our life where we just begin to realize, wait a minute, I haven't been hungering for God. I have not been yearning for more of him. And that song, Let the Peace of God Reign, I want more of you, Lord. Let me read that line one more time. Oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let me know your truth. That's what it's all about. We are going to Philippians 4, and then we're going to get Nathan and Nan in here to comment. Philippians 4:4, and we can read it in different translations. I've got the Message in front of me, but I also have the NIV. And the NIV says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, let your gentleness be known. And I tell you, I think that there are so many of us that just get through life in a state of mild anxiety and fear and worry and doubt and all that junk. Talk to me about that, Nathan. I think this is very human nature to take life like that instead of like these verses say here in Philippians 4.
Well, I think that for the average person, even for the average Christian,
right,
that they go through life feeling anxious about different things,
right,
things that they feel they want in their lives to go right or to manifest.
Right.
And if it doesn't manifest right when they think it should, then they're feeling anxious and they're feeling worried and they're concerned about it. And we should let the peace of God rule.
Exactly.
Let the peace of God rule, because that's the key. Then we don't worry and then we don't fret and we don't get anxious about anything, because everything happens in its time.
Okay.
You know, and God's timing, everything happens.
I agree with you entirely. What about the listener that's sitting out there going, but you have no idea how bad my life is right now. You have no idea how much.
God knows exactly
how
your life is. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're worried about. He knows exactly what you're anxious over. He knows exactly how terrible you feel things are. He knows exactly. I mean, he knows you. He knows you inside and out.
But you know, Nathan and Nan, I think there's a lot of people in this world who do not think that they are important enough to God for him to be concerned about their struggles, their daily issues, their fears, their worries. Nan, talk to me about that, and then we'll get back to Nathan.
Well, that's the trick of the enemy, of course,
to
make us think that. I mean, I was sitting there thinking back, there's been times in my life that, what stood out to me is that rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. That was important enough to say twice.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
And as we rejoice and bring, as the Bible says, prayer and petition with thanksgiving, I can think of, there's been times in my life that, man, I was really doing that, difficult times. And
you were putting this verse into practice,
I was putting the verse into practice, and, of course, I write a lot of poetry, and God inspired mega amount of poems as I was going through that time. And there was a calmness. There was a peace that transcends all understanding, as the scripture tells us.
Yeah.
There's been a few times that maybe I didn't handle it. That's the way I choose to handle things now.
How does calmness feel, Nan?
It feels good. It feels good. I mean, I can remember one particular scene of my life, if we look at it as a scene of my life. And in the natural, probably anybody would have been nervous and anxiety-ridden. And I wasn't. And I knew that that was God.
You knew that was God doing that.
It was God doing that. I couldn't do that.
Are you saying, Nathan and Nan, and I know you are, but I just want to make this point to our audience. Are you saying that God can supernaturally remove the anxiety, worry, fear, the what ifs from our life? What if this awful thing happens? What if that happens? Nathan, talk to me about that. Then we'll go to Nan for her comment on that, whether God can do that or wants to do that.
God wants to do it. He definitely wants to do it.
Why?
And he can do it.
Why does he want to do it?
Because he loves us so much and he doesn't like to see us suffer.
There you go.
He doesn't like to see us wallow in self-pity or anguish or our anxiety. It hurts his heart to see his children go through that when all they have to do is turn to him. And it doesn't necessarily change the situation, but it changes us.
It does.
And puts us in a place of rejoicing.
All three of us are parents, and you and I, Nathan, are actually grandparents. And Nan hasn't got there yet, but she will,
She will.
But, I mean, we want our children and our grandchildren to be at ease and peace in their lives. We don't want them walking around. And it's just like the Heavenly Father feels that way about us. He does not want us to be struggling with these anxieties and worries and fears. Talk to me, Nan, about that. Because he is our loving Heavenly Father.
That's right.
Okay. She agrees with me, Nan.
I concur with you, Pastor.
Okay.
Yes.
But why is that important to our Father God that we get a handle on this concept?
Well, you know, it brings a father much delight to see us doing that.
Right.
Kind of along that lines, I have Jackson, who's my basset hound.
Right.
And I have an alarm system in my place.
Right.
Well, I set one of those alarms so that I can watch him where he normally sits, which is now my recliner.
Okay.
My recliner over. And I get so excited to watch him because I will go into that alarm system from my phone right before I get home. He's laying there just sleeping, or he's walking around, or he's barking, or whatever he's doing. And when he knows I am there, he gets all excited. I see him fly across the room there, ears hanging back. And, it excites me to see him get excited because I'm home.
Right.
And I mean, I do this every day. It's great.
I like that.
And the same way with our Father, he gets all excited when we do what the scripture's telling us to do. When we praise him in the midst of the circumstances, when we trust him when things are seemingly going bad, he is in control. And he delights in the praise of his people, as the scripture tells us.
Oh, amen. That's a good example, too. Yes. Talk to us, Nathan.
Well, the fact of the matter is, just like we don't like to see our children suffer and go through anxiety and go through difficult times, our Heavenly Father is more so. He more so does not want us to go through hard times or to suffer with anxiety and worry.
Right.
I mean, he's given us the answer in his word. And what to do. He tells us what to do when anxiety and worry knocks at our door.
Right.
We are to rejoice. We are to praise God. And we are to replace that anxiety and worry with the peace of God.
Right.
We are to let. I mean, and it's interesting, too. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
We have to allow it, right?
We have to allow it, but it's something that we can do. And it is something that we have to do. We have to let it abide in us. Otherwise, you know, we can crowd it out with anxiety and worry and fear and doubt. We can just crowd it out and then just be a mess.
I totally agree.
But God, our Heavenly Father, tells us, listen, children, just let my peace abide.
That's right.
Let my peace live in you.
Well, that's and what that song just said. Let my peace reign.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it? Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, and I mean, and when we let the peace of God reign, then anxiety and worry disappear.
Okay, what about the person out there that goes, well, I don't even know what that peace feels like because I'm always anxious, I'm always troubled, I'm always worried, I'm always in a state of high anxiety and tension. You just
that
said,
person,
go ahead, Nathan, go on.
That person needs to drop all that and let God have his way.
Okay, I totally agree because you just said that it is in our control whether or not we allow, because verse 6 of Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. So there's nothing that's too big, too huge for us to drop and let go of, right? There's nothing
that's
too
right.
big.
You know, that's right.
Because some people could present an argument, well, I just have gone through this financial struggle, or I just lost my job, or I just found out I'm getting a divorce, or whatever. And these things are so big that I have to worry about them.
No, you don't.
Talk to us about that, and then we'll go to Nan on that.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, God knows exactly where you are in your life, and he knows what difficulties you're going through. And life is full of difficulties. Life is going to be full of difficulties.
It is.
The Bible tells us that in this world, we're going to have difficult times
right.
in this life.
Right.
But we have choice that we can make. We can choose to trust God and let his peace reign in our hearts, or we can choose to allow the difficulty to ruin us.
That's right. We can. It is our choice. It is our choice. I like that. And it is a choice. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, what I was thinking, I'd kind of take off on it just a little bit. We need to watch who we hang out with. I just feel like I want to say that right here. You know, we can be going through trials and tribulations. We need to be careful who all we say that to, because there's going to be those people out there who don't look at things through a godly way.
Right.
They're good people. They mean well, but they don't have piped into Jesus.
Right.
You know, and that can be a hindrance to us.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
There's been times I've contacted you, Pastor, and you've been of encouragement to me about whatever maybe was going on or whatever was happening. And that's what we need to do, is find those people in our lives who can do that for us. Don't go around and telling everybody your problem, because you're going to get everyone's opinion. And many of those opinions are not godly opinions.
That's right.
It's just what they think, what they feel. So we need to guard carefully. We need to get with people who will praise with us.
Oh, you just said the G word. Hang on a minute. It's right here in verse 7. Let's read 6 and 7. I'm in the NIV. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we're going to talk about that more in a minute, present your requests to God. Now, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, we can't even figure out how we can be at peace in the midst of some of the life struggles we go through. It transcends all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now,
when
I was teaching this concept Wednesday night, and Pastor Jim looked up the word guard. And it means to have like a military force around, to have such a presence of, you know, like, well, I'll give you an example. I have a new puppy, but she's 6 months old now, Macklin Grace. And when Macklin first came to live with Zoe Grace and I, same middle name, I had to put up a doggy gate, you know, in two different places to keep her in a certain area, because I soon found out that she was a puppy, of course, and liked to chew on everything and liked to get into, in particular, my closet and drag my shoes all over the house. And seriously, she does it. She still does if I let her. And I mean, then I find my shoes in all different places, or I can't find a shoe when I'm needing it, okay? And that seems to be her favorite thing, to torment me. So I immediately, within the first few days of having her home, realized I had to guard against that. And sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I leave the bedroom door open accidentally. And pretty soon, there's my shoes flying all over the house. So, and you know, the other thing, while we're talking about that, that she gets are the little caps on the base of the toilet that cover up the bolts, you know? She carries those from two toilets. So she has four caps that she manages to take all over the house. So anyway, I say all that to say I have had to guard against that mischievous behavior, okay? And here, this word is talking about in the original Greek, it's like a military force that forms a curtain around. In other words, keeps your mind from going off in those 9,000 directions that it wants to do. Talk to me, Nathan, about all of this and Macklin's mischievousness.
Well, guarding.
Yes.
You know, when a person has a bodyguard, this person takes the blunt of the blows.
Oh, that's a good point.
Are the bullets
right
that may come your way. This person gets in the way of it so that you don't have to suffer it.
Right. Good point.
See, the bodyguard, their whole job is to keep you safe.
Right.
And the Jesus Christ, his blood, his precious, precious blood.
Amen.
Over us, over our mind, keeps us safe.
Yes.
From the wily darts and stings and arrows of the devil.
Absolutely. Oh,
and
you're
when
right
we,
on.
When we yield ourselves to Christ, when we yield ourselves and yielding ourselves, I know some people, that sounds like a real spiritual word, and I guess it is, but what it means is letting go of
you're
the
right.
world.
Yes, letting go.
Letting go of the temptations, of the frustrations, of the worries, of the irritations, of everything that the world sends our way, and yielding ourselves, letting go of everything, and letting Christ rule.
Absolutely. Yes. Good point. All right, I want to go back to this word a minute ago that I mentioned, and that was the word Thanksgiving, and we've just come through Thanksgiving. But
yes,
this is an extremely important point, and I've asked it at the last two Wednesday night Bible studies, and I've gotten the same answer both times. I've asked the question, what comes after Thanksgiving? And each week, somebody has said Christmas. And it is true that Christmas
true.
Does come after Thanksgiving.
But it comes in our lives. When we make our petitions with Thanksgiving,
right?
I mean, we're rewarded. I mean, it shows up in our life what we are praying for, what we are looking for, and sometimes we don't even realize it.
Exactly.
Like when we're asking for spiritual growth, and then we grow, but we don't even realize it.
That's right.
We pray that and we ask it for it, and we thank God for giving it to us. Because God is a good God.
Amen.
He's a good Father, and He loves us, and He loves to give good gifts to His children.
Oh, amen.
And we are His children.
Yes.
And when we get those things, you know, I mean, when we pray for those things, we ask and with thanksgiving. We put our petition before
That's
the Father,
right.
And then we thank Him for giving it to us even before we see it, because then we're releasing our faith to receive it.
That's exactly right. So let's look at verse 7, and I'm going to answer the question of what comes after Thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What comes after Thanksgiving? Peace.
Christmas.
Besides
Jesus.
Christmas. Peace. Peace comes after.
Because the Prince of Peace.
The peace, the Prince of Peace. Because when we are presenting these petitions, and when we are doing it with thanksgiving, what results after that thanksgiving is a peace settles down on us. Nan, talk to us about this, because I live in this. And I'm telling you that it's been on my heart for about 2 weeks, teaching this concept to everybody I can talk to. Because my kids, I have been talking this concept. What comes
Praise
after Thanksgiving?
God.
Peace.
Praise
Peace
God.
Comes after Thanksgiving.
God.
Nan, yeah. Talk to us about this.
Well, if people can just grasp and realize that that's there for them. Y'all talked about having faith, and you know, I'm working on a faith book right now with poems and other things in it. And what part of that title is believing and receiving God's promises.
Yes.
And this is a promise that has been made to us. It's available to us. It is there. We just have to reach out and grasp that. We have to We need to offer Thanksgiving unto the Lord.
So what about the person that's listening and says, hey, I'll try this, but I don't think I'm going to feel at peace because my problems are huge and my situation is huge.
Serve a big God.
I hear you.
Serve a big God.
I love a quote.
And there's nothing too big for him.
That's exactly right. I love a quote that Joel Osteen has said in one of his books. Stop telling God about how big your problems are.
And tell your problems how big God is.
There you go, Nathan. There you go. And tell your problems how big a God you have. And, you know, a change of perspective. Talk to me about that, Nathan. It's a change of way we look at things.
When we get God's point of view
in
our problems, we realize that they're nothing. They're nothing for him to handle.
Right.
They're nothing for him to deal with because he's a big God. And he knows what we go through, and he knows exactly how to handle it.
Exactly.
You know, we just let it go and give it to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that little song, he's a miracle working God, he's a miracle mm-hmm. working. His name is Jesus, and he's my Savior. He's a miracle working God. We sang that 25 years ago at Cornerstone. I tell you, he is a miracle-working God, but we got to change our perspective, like you're saying there, Nathan, and realize that this, like Nan just said, these promises are for us. We can claim them, or we can say, nah, that's not for me because I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor or a teacher. And, you know, I know a lot of people in the ministry and have known through the years who don't apply this principle to their life. So it's not just for pastoral people, because I know a lot of them who don't. So, Nan, talk to us about this before we go back to Nathan on this.
Well, I mean, I just feel sometimes we live beneath and below what's available to us, you know.
Ring the bell in there on that one. You got the bell? Ring it.
Yeah, there's the bell.
There you go, because that's exactly right. We do live beneath.
You know, and back to, you know, some people say, well, like you've already said, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what's going on. Well, God does.
Yeah.
God does. And the same God who helps Nathan through things, who helps you through things, who helps me through things, will help them.
Mm-hmm.
And he will inhabit their praise. And he wants to hear their thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter where they've come from or what they're doing. That doesn't matter. That just does not matter.
It doesn't matter how you feel.
Right.
That's true.
Because your feelings will change.
Yeah.
With every circumstance, your feelings change.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And if you bring God into your circumstances, your feelings will turn to real praise and real worship because your feelings follow motion. Your feelings follow doing something.
That's right. But the key right here is the word Thanksgiving. And it's not just about a great dinner, which we had a couple weeks ago. Mm. It's about a moment by moment gratitude that is so within us that the first thought when we have a blessing or whatever is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know?
Well, it's even before the blessing comes.
Right.
Thanking him.
Yes.
Because our faith rides on that prayer of thanksgiving. That faith rides on those words.
It does. It does. So what comes after Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
No, Nathan. Yes, it does. Well, what else? What else?
Peace. But, you know, as we say in the natural, I mean, we have the holidays, Thanksgiving. And then comes Christmas.
Right.
And realize that we have Thanksgiving and people that really give thanks to God and praise God for that. And then God sends his answer.
Yes.
Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
You know, And his answer is Jesus Christ. I mean, people, Christmas has become so commercialized. And people don't realize that it is the birthday of Jesus Christ.
It is. So I've that
God
is
promised to us.
Perfect segue. I want to go back to Isaiah 9. Not planned, of course. We never know what Holy Spirit's going to do. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, words written 700 to 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. Mm-hmm. And here is what was prophesied through Isaiah. For a child has been born for us. Mm-hmm. Now, he had not been born yet. He was 700 or 800 years until he was going to be born. But in the heart of God, in the mind of God, it had already happened.
Yes.
Because when God says it's going to happen, it's already happened.
Yes.
Okay? For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor. You need counseling today? It's Jesus right here. Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. In the New American Standard, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
We can, if we had time, I'll just mention this. We may go back to it later. In John, right before Jesus was about ready to go to the cross, he said to his disciples, I leave you something. I'm going away, but here's what I'm going to leave you. Peace. He left the gift of peace. There is no better gift than that. Talk to me about that, Nathan, before we get to this song.
Well, a person at peace is very content.
Yeah.
And very rested.
There you go.
And just, I mean, you rest in the arms of God, and you're at peace because, and you're content. You just, there's this, you're complete.
Right. Wholeness, Prince of Wholeness.
Wholeness, right. You're complete because God gives you what you need.
Right.
And what this world needs is peace.
Amen.
So, you know, even whatever situation you find yourself in, if it's not peace, then you need to just let it go and let God.
Yes. And put your petitions and prayers before him with thanksgiving, and then the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Listen to this song, also by the group Hillsong, None But Jesus. nothing but Jesus. No person, no situation, no job. Nothing can bring you the peace in your life that Jesus can bring. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, Nathan. I love that song, None But Jesus. I love it.
People look for satisfaction in possessions.
Yes.
And owning lots of things. But there's always more things. And the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Right.
And it never satisfies.
Right.
But the peace that Jesus gives satisfies.
Amen.
It fills a place that he created in us. We have a God-shaped hole that can only be filled by God.
Exactly.
By his peace. And we try to fill it up with things. We try to fill it up with DVDs and the next television and the next telephone and the next smartphone or whatever. I've got the best of everything. But there's nothing that satisfies like Jesus.
Boy, you're so right. You're exactly right. Nan, talk to us about this, and then I want to read this in the Message Bible, 4-7, here in Philippians mm-hmm. chapter 4. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, he wants the very best for us.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were talking about children, and I was just sitting there thinking, I always did the best I could do for my child.
Right.
They were working on taking care of some stuff in my son's bedroom when he was an adult now and he wasn't living there. And he's like, Papa, why is all this stuff here? That your mother always tried to provide everything she could for you. But on the flip side of that, I always tried to provide Jesus to him.
Right.
We were in church. I was in leadership, which meant he was in church a lot.
Right.
You know, playing with the preacher's kids, okay?
Sure.
But, you know, that's what our Father wants so much for us.
Right.
He wants us to have that peace.
Mm-hmm.
That peace that passes all understanding. That's one of his many gifts to us.
It is.
Peace. Mm. You know, and we need to move forward in realizing that we can have that peace. It doesn't matter what has happened. We can have that peace.
And, oh, we can.
You know, all three of us, if we were to tell parts of our story, could share how there were situations that he gave us peace.
In the midst of the storm.
In the midst of the storm, he gave us peace.
Yes.
You know, and that is such an awesome gift to have right there in the midst of what is going on with you.
Oh, there is. I want to read in the Message Bible because it kind of says it in today's language, maybe help some of our listeners understand. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't fret or worry. That's a huge sentence right there. It's only four words, and that's enough to change your life. Mm-hmm. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Mm-hmm. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything mm-hmm. coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life.
Yes. Lord.
So God can take the worry out of the center of your life. That's what these mm-hmm. verses are saying. You don't have to be a slave to worry, anxiety, fear,
doubt,
all that stuff. Talk to me, Nathan. You don't have to be a slave to that because Jesus can displace worry at the center of your life. I do know people who have worry at the center of their life. I think we all do.
So do I. So do I. You know, and they say, if I don't worry about you, who will?
Right. That's right.
You know, when you say, you don't have to worry.
Right.
Just pray.
Right.
Shape your worry into prayers with thanksgiving.
That's right.
Knowing that God is working his plan.
That's right.
And God's plan is a good plan.
Oh, it's a great plan. But go ahead.
Well, just the fact of the matter is, when we are in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places with him.
Amen. Ephesians
and therefore,
chapter 1
our
and 2.
Perspective of anything and everything that comes our way is God's point of view.
Right.
And God's point of view is, it's nothing.
Quit worrying.
Yeah.
Right? Quit stressing.
Quit stressing. That's
you know,
right.
If Dr. Angel were here and she does the Thursday night counseling show with me, and so often she'll come up with statistics, medical statistics, and one of those is about stress and how dangerous stress really is in our lives. And I think a lot of times we just minimize that and say, oh, I'm all right. But then we spend the night in the middle of the night. We wake up. We're in stress. We're thinking. We're anxious. We're upset. We're worried. We're depressed. We don't want to get up and go to work, whatever the case may be. And God is saying, guys, don't you realize that really is hurtful to your body and to your well-being? Talk to us, Nan, about this.
Well, you know, one thing that stresses me, as you know, is my job.
Right. Okay, that was for you then.
That was for me. Okay. And a particular
wasn't
part.
Wasn't aimed at you, but.
Oh, right.
Wasn't aimed at all, but go
ahead.
It
wasn't aimed at all. I know it was not. You know, payroll really kicks me, and it's just so involved in what I have to do.
It kicks me.
And every 2 weeks I get to do it. Of course, I like getting paid. So does everyone else. But it's just, it's very taxing.
For the whole school system.
For the whole school. So, but it's interesting that, you know, I tried to take the stance now of I'm thankful for my job.
Right.
There may be that aspect that I don't really like with it and it stresses me out, but God helps me with the stress. And, you know, we offer Thanksgiving, thank you God for the job. I have benefits. I have vacation. I have sick leave. You know, a lot of people would die to have that.
Right.
A lot of people are unemployed and would welcome that opportunity.
Right.
So in the midst of that, I offer thanks to him.
Amen.
And he carries me through and he gets, you know, there's been some payroll cycles I've just had such peace. Like this one is one of the ones I've had such peace about, you know, and that is because of Thanksgiving, offering Thanksgiving unto my Father.
Praise God. So you've been living this because you listened Wednesday night and you heard it, right?
I did.
What comes after Thanksgiving, Nan?
Not just Christmas, but peace.
Peace. All
amen,
right.
Amen.
Okay. Talk to us about this, Nathan, because I think that so many out there are going, I get this. I understand. But can God really do this?
God can really do it. And he does it for many of us.
Yes.
Who lets him.
Yes.
Because the fact of the matter is, stress is not good for the body.
It's not.
And, you know, and stress is really is a mental thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that's in your mind.
Right.
But as it goes through your mind, it destroys your body.
It does. Yes, it does.
You know, and you can't separate yourself from it so that you can put stress in a little box. And say, okay, there's my stress. I'll take it and put it this way, put it over here, and here I'll put over worry. Worry goes right over here, and anxiety will just go over here. You can't do that. You can't divorce yourself from those things.
Right.
The only way you can overcome them is to allow God to give his peace that passes all understanding. See, all these products, all these things, stress, worry, fear, doubt, are products of our understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right, Nathan.
They're products of our understanding.
Yeah, we understand our situation that it's so bad that we have, that we fall into all this stuff because we know how bad it is, right?
But God knows too.
Yes.
And when we remove ourselves from the situation, and we seat ourselves back in God's place.
Right.
In heavenly places with him.
Yes.
And see it from God's perspective.
Oh, gosh, yes. Praise God. Yes.
All problems that come our way, all bad situations, I mean, every single thing from God's perspective is nothing.
Because he is a miracle working God and he does change our circumstances.
Yes, he does.
I was driving in the car with my sister the other day and we were talking about suddenly moments. And she said, I've never heard that concept. And I said, it's all through the Word of God. God suddenly changes circumstances.
Yes, he does.
Very
yes, he does.
Quickly, suddenly. You two have heard me preach for years about suddenly moments.
Yes, we have.
They're
yes,
everywhere in the Word of God because God does hear our prayers and mm-hmm. suddenly moves to change our circumstances. Now, some of the listeners maybe go, well, I want it to go this way, God, if you're going to change it. And we really can't control that part of it, right,
no,
Nathan?
Can't.
Why not?
No, we can't.
Why not?
Well, the fact of the matter is God sees the consequences of the change.
That's right. Yeah.
And we don't. Often we don't see what consequences could happen if God changed it the way we wanted him to.
Right.
We don't know what consequences lie ahead of us.
That's right.
In that situation. But God knows, and he knows what's best for us.
Oh, he so does. And so often we think we do know that.
But we don't. we really, really don't.
We really don't.
No.
Really?
What's best for us.
Yeah, you know, it's this gray hair, you know. That,
Are you finally getting gray hair?
I've got about 10. And and you have a ton. And
I got about 10,000.
But you know, as we grow up in God, not necessarily in our physical age, but as we are growing in God, we begin to understand wisely that God does see everything ahead. He understands how all the puzzle pieces fit together when we can't understand that. He does.
Yes, he does.
And suddenly, so often, suddenly something happens and rearranges your puzzle.
Yes.
But in the meantime, when we give him thanks that he knows all of that and we may not, peace comes after Thanksgiving.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Nathan, are you staying on or are you going off at 4 o'clock?
I'm going to go off at 4.
Okay. So I'll give you an opportunity to say, sum this up of what you've been saying today before we go to station ID. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say this. If you're going through troubles and trials and tribulations, and those are just words that mean if you're going through some stuff, all you've got to do is give it up and trust God.
Amen.
Let God come into your situation. When God comes on the scene, things happen.
Amen.
And when God comes on the scene, things change.
Right.
And when he will change your problems into victories. He can change your worries and your cares into peace.
That's right.
If you allow him.
That's exactly right. If you allow him, right?
That's right. That's right. Because we can listen to God or we can listen to the world. It's our choice. It's our decision. We can have the world coming at us in all situations and all different directions. And it does. I mean, our minds, if we don't let God control our minds, the Holy Spirit control our minds just go off. I mean, there's voices.
Oh, yeah.
That just pound us constantly.
They do.
There's this constant people or constant things that are looking for your attention.
Right.
And if we put our attention on anything but God, then we suffer the consequences.
And so for those that are saying, but my day is so busy, whatever, you can be aware of the presence of God in your heart as you go through your day. And a quick little thank you, Jesus, just little things can absolutely change your day, don't you think?
I think so, because when you say thank you, Jesus, that brings God to the scene.
That's right.
That puts him right in the midst of that situation, and he changes it.
Because
he doesn't like it when we're going through stuff.
Right. He comes. He comes on the scene.
He wants us to have peace.
Amen. Speaking of peace, I have a huge piece about this trip to Mexico. And Nan and Nathan, I want you both to agree with me that God's will be done here in the next 2 weeks and that doors will open for opportunities to share even this concept right here as God opens the doors and we get done what his goals and his mission is for this trip. And yeah. I thank God right here on the air that for safety, I thank God that 2 weeks from today, I'll be right back here in this chair. And that everything will go great and God will get done what he wants to get done. So,
Amen. We agree.
You agree? All right.
We agree.
Praise God. Nathan, thank you. You're always a blessing. And we'll talk to you very soon. And we will do some station ID right here. And don't forget what comes after Thanksgiving. What is it, Nathan?